the washing of water by the word, a prayer by Charles Spurgeon. O Jehovah, our God, you love your people. You have placed all the saints in the hand of Jesus, and you have given Jesus to be to them a leader, a commander, and a husband. And we know you delight to hear us cry on the behalf of your church, for you care, and you are ready to grant according to the covenant provisions which you have laid up in the store for Christ Jesus. Therefore, we begin this prayer by entreating you to behold us and visit the vine and the vineyard which your right hand has planted. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Look upon those whom you have chosen from before the foundation of the world, whom Christ has redeemed with blood, whose hearts he has won and holds, and who are his own, though they are in this world. Holy Father, keep your people, we beseech you, for Jesus' sake. Though they are in the world, let them not be of it. But may there be a marked distinction between them and the rest of mankind. Even as our Lord, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners, so may it be with believers in Christ. May they follow him, and may they not know the voice of strangers, but come up from the rest that they may follow him without the camp. We cry to you for the preservation of your church and the world, and especially for her purity. Father, keep us. We beseech you with all keeping, that the evil one touch us not. We shall be tempted, but let him not prevail against us. In a thousand ways he will lay snares for our feet, but oh, deliver us as a bird from the snare of the fowler. May the snare be broken that we may escape. Let not your church suffer dishonor at any time, but may her garments be always white. Let not such as come in among her that are not of her utterly despoil her. O Christ, as you did groan concerning Judas, so may your children cry to you concerning any that have fallen aside in the crooked ways, lest your cause in the earth should be dishonored. Cover, we beseech you, with your feathers, all the people of Christ, and keep your church even until he shall come, who, having loved his own that were in the world, loves them even unto the end. Reading from Matthew Henry's Method of Prayer. A prayer that we may be active and diligent in our duty. Lord, quicken us to work the works of him that was sent us while it is day, because the night comes wherein no man can work. And what good our hands find to do it with all our might, because there is no work or knowledge in the grave where we are going. Grant that we may never be slothful in any good business, but fervent in spirit serving you, steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Make us zealously affected in every good work, and what we do, enable us to do it heartily as to you and not to men. Enable us to do the work of every day in its day, according as the duty of the day requires, redeeming the time because the days are evil, that when the Lord comes, he may find us doing. We pray that we may be resolute and courageous in our duty, as those that know that though we may be losers for Christ, we shall not be losers by him in the end. Teach us to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we may not fear the reproach of men or their revilings, nor be ashamed of Christ or of his words, knowing whom we have believed, even one who is able to keep what we have committed to him against that day. Though bonds and afflictions should abide us, Lord, grant that none of these things may move us, and that we may not count life itself dear to us, so we may finish our course with joy. Enable us in all things to approve ourselves to you, and then to pass by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, clad with the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, as those that account it a very small thing to be judged of man's judgment, for you are the one that judges us. The following prayer is taken from morning and evening prayers for all days of the week by John Heberman, who died in the year 1590. Almighty, all gracious God, all your creatures should praise and glorify you. The birds under the heavens magnify you with lovely songs early in the morning as their Lord and Maker. So will I too heartily thank you that you have preserved me under your shelter and protection during the night now past, and all my life even to the present hour, and awakening me from the sleep of the darkness of this night, have allowed me to rise again in health and joy. I pray for the sake of the saving resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that you would ever keep me together with all my loved ones from all danger and evil. O Lord, save your people and bless your inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Fill me also at this early hour with your grace, that I may pass this day rejoicing in your commandments and free from mortal sin. Let me experience your grace as a dew from the womb of the morning, and as a refreshing moisture that diffuses at the break of day, making the land fruitful. That you would spread your goodness over me, that I may gladly and zealously do your will. Govern me with your Holy Spirit, that I may serve you in righteousness and holiness of truth, well-pleasing in your sight. Guard me that I sin not against you, nor defile my conscience with carnal lusts that militate against the soul. Keep my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking guile. Foolish talking or jesting, unbecoming of Christians, be ever far removed from me. Grant that I offend none with my lips, nor backbite, judge nor condemn, defame nor vilify. Oh, that I might put a lock to my lips and seal them with a strong seal, that they bring me not to nothing, nor my tongue destroy me. Give me grace that I may know my shortcomings and correct them and not fall into your righteous judgment and condemnation. Grant my prayer, O eternal God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The following prayer is taken from a book called Christian Prayers and Holy Meditations, as well for private and public exercise. They were collected by Henry Bull in the year 1566. In the morning and evening and at noon will I pray to the Lord, and he will hear my prayer. Psalm 55. In this great darkness of our souls, O Lord, shine into us with the light of your grace, but in nothing so effectually as in the preaching of your word. Great is the harvest, as you yourself have said, and the workmen are few. The greatest part of men are ignorant and wrapped up in miserable blindness. And few there are that teach your holy word truly as they ought. We beseech you, therefore, to send forth workmen into the harvest. Send teachers, O Lord, which are taught of you, and instructed by the Spirit of godly wisdom and understanding, which by their preaching will seek not themselves but you, because they are godly, and can so do because they are wise and understand. Give to the preacher of your word here present out of the treasures of your wisdom that which he may pour upon us to our salvation, and to us give your grace and Holy Spirit, O Lord, so to hear and receive your word, that the good seed which falls upon us be not choked with thorns, or withered away with drought, or devoured by the fowls of the air, but may grow up in a good ground and fructify with great increase. The following prayers to be said of such as suffer any kind of trouble or cross, either private or common. O Almighty God, King of all kings, and Governor of all things, whose power no creature is able to resist, to whom it belongs justly to punish sinners, and to be merciful to them that truly repent, we confess that you do most justly punish us, for we have grievously sinned against you. And we acknowledge that in punishing us you declare yourself to be our most merciful Father, as well because you do not punish us in anything as we have deserved, as also because by punishing us you call us and, as it were, draw us to increase in repentance, in faith, in prayer, and contemning the world, and in hearty desire for everlasting life in your blessed presence. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, thankfully to acknowledge your great mercy, which you have favorably dealt with us in punishing us not to our confusion, but to our amendment, and seeing that you have sworn that you will not the death of a sinner, but that he turn and live. Have mercy upon us and turn us to you for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ's sake, whom you would should be made a slain sacrifice for our sins, and by this declaring the great and unspeakable anger against sin, and your infinite mercy towards us sinful wretches. And forasmuch as the dullness, blindness, and corruption of our hearts is such, that we are not able to arise up to you by faithful and hearty prayer, according to our great necessity, without your singular grace and assistance, grant to us, gracious Lord, your holy and sanctifying Spirit to work in us this good work with grace to weigh and consider the need and greatness of that we do desire, and with an assured faith and trust that you will grant us our request, because you are good and gracious, even to young ravens calling upon you, much more than to us, for whom you have made all things, yea, and have not spared also your own dear Son, because you have commanded us to call upon you, because your throne, whereto we come, is a throne of grace and mercy, because you have given us a mediator, Christ, to bring us to you, being the way by whom we come, being the door by whom we enter, and being our head on whom we hang in hope, that our poor petition shall not be in vain through him and for his name's sake. We beseech you, therefore, of your rich mercy, wherein you are plentiful to all them that call upon you, to forgive us of our sins, namely our unthankfulness, unbelief, self-love, neglect of your word, security, hypocrisy, contempt of your long-suffering, omission of prayer, doubting of your power, presence, mercy, and goodwill towards us, unsensible of your grace. And to this your benefit of correcting us, add your gracious gift of repentance, faith, and the spirit of prayer, the contempt of this world, and hearty desiring for everlasting life. And to us with your Holy Spirit, according to your covenant and mercy, as well to assure us of pardon, and that you accept us into your favor as your dear children in Christ, for his sake, as to write your law in our hearts, and so to work in us that we may now begin to go forwards in believing, living, fearing, obeying, praying, hoping, and serving you, as you require most fatherly and most justly of us, accepting us as perfect in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The following prayer, taken from The Rise and Progress of Religion in the Soul, is titled The Sinner Yielding to the Entreaties of Grace and Declaring Acceptance of Salvation by Christ. Blessed Lord, it is enough. It is too much. Surely there needs not this variety of arguments, this importunity of persuasion to court me, to be happy, to prevail on me, to accept of your pardon, of life, of eternal glory. Compassionate Savior, my soul is subdued, so that I trust the language of your grief has become that of my penitence, and I may say my heart is melted like wax in the midst of my bowels. Psalm 22, verse 14. O gracious Redeemer, I have already neglected you for too long. I have too often injured you, have crucified you afresh by my guilt and impenitence, as if I had taken pleasure in putting you to an open shame, Hebrews 6:6, But my heart now bows itself before you in humble, unfeigned submission. I desire to make no terms with you but these, that I may be entirely yours. I cheerfully present you with a blank, entreating you that you will do me the honor to signify upon it what is your pleasure. Teach me, O Lord, what you would have me to do, for I desire to learn a lesson, to learn it, that I may practice it. If it be more than my feeble powers can answer, you will, I hope, give me more strength, and in that strength I will serve you, or receive a soul which you have made willing to be yours. No more, blessed Jesus, no more is it necessary to beseech and entreat me. Permit me rather to address myself to you with all the importunity of a perishing sinner, that at length Caesar knows there is salvation and no other. Permit me now, Lord, to come and throw myself at your feet like a helpless outcast that has no shelter, but in your gracious compassion, like one pursued by the avenger of blood and seeking earnestly an admittance into the city of refuge. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in your word do I hope that you will receive me graciously. My soul confides in your goodness and adores it. I adore your patience, which has borne with me for so long, and the grace that now makes me heartily willing to be yours, to be yours on your own terms, yours on any terms. Oh, secure this treacherous heart to yourself. Oh, unite me to you in such inseparable bonds that none of the allurements of flesh and blood, none of the vanities of an ensnaring world, none of the solicitations of sinful companions may draw me back from you and plunge me into new guilt and ruin. Be surety, O Lord, for your servant for good, that I may still keep my hold on you and so on eternal life until at length I know more fully by joyful and everlasting experience how complete a Savior you are. Amen. The following prayer is from a book that was published in the year 1638, a prayer of Alexander Henderson, one of the Puritan divines that was at the Westminster Assembly, from Scotland. It is our fault and our infirmity, we confess in your sight, O Lord our God, that we consider not your ways and your working. And therefore it is that we think not seriously upon that duty and obligation which we owe to you, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, many of them have been and still are unsearchable. For who is there that has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been your counselor? No created wisdom is able to fathom this depth of your working, for it is boundless and a bottomless deep. But, Lord, you have some goings and ways in the world, and especially in your own house, among your own children, which may be traced and gone into by us, which whosoever shall may see the Lord to be wonderful in goodness, mercy, and patience, yea, in justice and wrath, even in wrath against your wicked enemies and in mercy to your own people. Lord, it has pleased you to come near us, and that very near, and we wonder at it, and we cannot wonder enough what it is that has moved you to do so, except to be to magnify the greatness of your mercy and showing us of yourself merciful to such a miserable and sinful nation as we are. For where the greatest darkness is, their light is best shown. And so the wonder is the greater that you do good to such an unworthy people as we are. And we will take it so from you, O Lord, to the end that your mercy may the more be magnified and extolled. And therefore, whatsoever is done to us, it is to be ascribed to your free grace and favor in Christ. For if you had dealt with us in wrath, we had been consumed long before now. And if we had been consumed either by your own immediate hand or by some judgment, as famine, pest, or sword, as a messenger sent from you, we behooved all of us to have subscribed that the Lord was most just and righteous in so doing, and confess that we had deserved it all at your hands for despising of that rich offer of Christ, which has been made to us in the gospel, even the richest offer which has ever yet been made to any people under heaven. And so the contemning of it deserves the greater judgments. And therefore, from the very inward of our hearts, we bless and praise you for this your goodness that you have manifested to us. And yet, for all that, we may be yet snared, if so be that we take not heed to ourselves what we do. For you have said that you will not hold him guiltless that takes your name in vain. And if so be that we add this taking of your name in vain, in our covenanting and swearing to you to our former sins, certainly we shall then be holden as guiltiest of all people under heaven, and guiltier than we were before. Because if we break now, we will be breakers of a very solemn covenant. And therefore, Lord, give us grace to consider what our duty is now, and to repent and mourn to you for sin, that so it may be a guard to us, both from all fear of our enemies, and also to hold your wrath off of us. And because it is faith that assures us of your mercy, and faith is not in every soul, only those who have it, on whom you bestow it, Lord, we beseech you to banish this atheism out of our hearts, and extirpate and pluck up by the roots this infidelity that is so fast planted in us, and plant that holy plant of faith into us, that so we may know that Christ and his righteousness belongs to us, and through him our prayers may ascend to you, and your blessings may descend upon us. And because we have tied ourselves of late to you, yet in no more than your word requires of us, to beautify our profession by a more religious and holy life and conversation, and doing every duty we owe both to you and man, forgive us that we have not considered of this part of our covenant with you. For who is there who has laid their sins to heart more this week than before, or said, "What have I done?" Or who is there who has taken any new purposes of amendment? We may well say in general we repent for sin, but what particular sins have we mourned for? We may say in general that we shall amend our ways, but what sin have we forsaken more than we did before? Or what duties have we begun to do? Lord, it was you who first made us to enter into covenant with you, and you must also put your fear in our hearts and cause us to love you with the whole heart. And it is you who must both make us willing and able to keep it. And as we have gone far on in our profession, so sanctify our hearts to serve you according to it. And give us grace that hereafter our whole life may be spent and bestowed not for ourselves, nor for the world, but for your honor and glory, for the good of others, and for the comfort of our own souls. And for this end, Lord, pour out upon us the spirit of prayer and supplications, both when we are about to pray to you in private, in public, or in our families, or in public in the congregation with your people, that so we, praying to you as it becomes us, you may turn away your judgments from us, and show us your mercy and loving kindness, that as it please you to enter into a covenant with us and to make us to enter into a covenant with you, when we were sliding back from you and were almost gone, so you may be pleased also to turn away your judgments from us and to turn them upon a people who don't know you. Lord, we apprehend this far, that if so be you had a purpose to destroy us, yet have allowed us still to go on in our backsliding, and so made us a hissing, a reproach, and a mocking stock to all the world about us. But because you have been pleased to deal graciously with us, we take it for a beginning of great mercy, and we look that it shall be so. And no doubt, but shall be, if we will endeavor to go on in the obedience of your commandments, and to walk in your ways, and so will at last bring us to that rest purchased to us by the merits of your Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. From a book taken from the University of Virginia, a collection of the prayers of George Washington, the first president. O eternal and everlasting God, I presume to present myself this morning before your divine majesty, beseeching you to accept of my humble and hearty thanks, that it has pleased your great goodness to keep and preserve me the night past from all the dangers poor mortals are subject to, and have given me sweet and pleasant sleep, in which I find my body refreshed and comforted for performing the duties of this day, and which I beseech you to defend from all perils of body and soul. Direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by your Holy Spirit from the dross of my natural corruption, that I may with more freedom of mind and liberty of will serve you, the ever-living God, in righteousness and holiness this day, and in all the days of my life. Increase my faith in the sweet promises of the gospel. Give me repentance from dead works. Pardon my wanderings and direct my thoughts to yourself, the God of my salvation. Teach me how to live in your fear, labor in your service, and ever to run in the ways of your commandments. Make me always watchful over my heart, that neither the tares of conscience, the loathing of holy duties, the love of sin, or an unwillingness to depart this life may cast me into a spiritual slumber, but daily frame me more and more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, that living in your fear and dying in your favor, I may in your appointed time attain the resurrection of the just unto eternal life. Bless my family, friends, and kindred. Unite us all in praising and glorifying you in all our works begun, continued, and ended, when we shall come to make our last account before the blessed Savior, who has taught us to pray our Father. Amen.